Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's kick off with African football. Burundi, Kenya, Uganda, and Tanzania will be representing not just their respective countries in the 2019 Africa Cup of Nations tournament, but also the Council for East and Central Africa Football Associations, SACAFA. Soccer experts say the Nations Cup qualification of the four SACAFA teams will help grow the sport in the region and in Africa. They warn, however, that local football federations must invest in more infrastructure if they are to maintain this soccer momentum. Magumi Davis Rakawinj tells us more from Kampala, Uganda.
Among these countries will be Burundi, who are debutants for the AFCON finals. Sports reporter and commentator Darren Chayune attributes the qualification to CAF's decision to increase the number of teams at the finals from 16 to 24. Chayune says increased number will help generate more revenues that will be channeled to develop soccer in Africa. He also says young soccer players will be inspired watching their countrymen play at the finals.
If Burundi is at the Africa Cup of Nations, it increases the audiences that get interest into the Africa Cup of Nations itself. Not only that, other countries that will be debuting like Mauritania, Madagascar as well, all of them, there is more attention to the tournament, which works more for the growth of footballers' CAF, and not a giant who would desire to face, to rub shoulders with only the giants and not these other lighter weight countries that have come from East Africa.
CAF stands for the Confederation of African Football, which brings all football associations in Africa. Chayune says it's a chance for players to show their talents for hundreds of soccer scouts from major soccer leagues, including Europe, that will be watching the AFCON finals. Leoni Senyange, a sports analyst in Uganda, agrees.
Many young Ugandan players had watched the team frustratingly fail to qualify for the AFCON. Today, after one qualification, everybody works so hard to be part of the national team and make it to the big stage of Africa's football. For Burundi, I believe a player like Arakaza, he had played SACAFA, he had played the Burundian League, he had played everything there was for him to play in Burundi. And there are many other players that now have the admiration of a goalkeeper like Arakaza from Burundi. Now, they'd want to follow in his footsteps, and the bigger target now for them is the Africa Cup of Nations qualification. And once they're able to do that 3-4 times, then the World Cup becomes the next big target.
Football coach Asaf Mwebaze says it is indeed every footballer's dream to participate at the competitions like CAF. Mwebaze says local football associations must now invest in infrastructure so young players can train. He also says now that these countries have qualified, their federations must train coaches, referees, and other football administrators.
Qualification alone is not enough, although qualification could be something that sparks this kind of growth, because now, because you see the presidents of these countries will be happy. So that the president of Tanzania giving plots of land and money to the players, the Ugandan president has done the same thing. I don't know what the Kenyan guy. So when this is done, then it can actually spur the growth of football in terms of facilities, even governments even putting money in the budgets of their countries to facilitate this game.
Mwebaze says he expects the Tanzanian team to perform better than most of our SACAFA colleagues at the finals. Tanzania Taifa Stars beat Uganda by 3-0 in their final Group L match to finish second behind Uganda Cranes. But Mwebaze and other analysts say qualification for the finals, not how they will perform at the finals, is a big step in the right direction for their soccer development. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I am Mugume, Davis Rwakarinji in Kampala, Uganda.
Thanks, Magumi. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. The Super Eagles of Nigeria will be making their 18th Nations Cup appearance at Egypt 2019. The Super Eagles have lifted the trophy three times, with their last continental championship in 2013 in South Africa. Bitrus Bawarong is the technical director of the Nigeria Football Federation. In an interview with Iron Mike Mbonye, he said the federation has high hopes of winning a fourth Nations Cup title.
The president of the NFF has been hammering that he wants to win another AFCON. And so definitely, as we have qualified now, it is left for the coach to now bring his program and we sanction it. Whatever we can do to make him succeed, then we would support him. So the way forward is, yeah, he has been saying he has a young squad and he has at least, you know, been able to see quite a number of them. And so we believe that he will be able to bring the players that he feels he will get the right result.
The Moroccan coach said that Nigeria and Egypt are tips to win the AFCON. They are the most favorite teams to win. Yes. What's your reaction to this?
Well, I think it is something that is a big honor to Nigeria because we have been given that that assessment. But football, you know, is played when it's time to play. So it is not issue of prediction that will give you the result. But I believe that we'll be able to actually work hard and at least confirm what he has said about Nigeria.
As head of technical department of the NFL, do you think that we need new players in addition to the ones we have now to go for the AFCON?
You see, when you pick a coach, all right, you give him an assignment. And part of the assignment is that he's supposed to do this, do that, and do this, okay? And ours is, okay, bring your program. If this is what you want, we would give you, right? And we expect that you will get results out of it. So I believe that we are going to work together. And because it is the current board's program, I believe that at the end of it, we would win by the grace of God.
That's Beatrice Bewerong, the technical director of the Nigeria Football Federation. And Beatrice spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye in Asaba, Nigeria. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. It's opening day of the Major League Baseball season here in Washington and in other U.S. cities. The Washington Nationals are at home against the New York Mets. The game is being played at Nationals Park, just a short walk from our Voice of America headquarters. Out west, it's a matchup between California-based clubs later Thursday in Oakland, California. That's where the Oakland Athletics will host the Los Angeles Angels. The Angels are paying a blessed record amount of money to their superstar outfielder, Mike Trout. My VOA colleague, Jim Stevenson, begins this spicy sports package with Trout's big deal.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is my sincere pleasure to welcome number 27, your Mike Trout.
Major League Baseball center fielder Mike Trout has signed a record-breaking 12-year, $430 million contract extension with the Los Angeles Angels. Trout's new deal is the largest contract in the history of American sports. He signed it because he thinks his team is a strong, long-term World Series contender.
I think the direction of the franchise, that was big for me. I think if it was going the other way, I would have had to consider, you know, going, but I never crossed my mind that I was going to be Angel for life, for sure.
The 27-year-old Trout holds a career batting average of .307 with 240 home runs, 648 runs batted in, and 189 stolen bases in 7 major league seasons. He credits his teammates and coaches for constantly improving his skills.
My teammates and coaches, I want to thank you guys. You guys push me hard every day. You keep me humble, you know, give me some more time, but I appreciate everything. My coaches push me to be the best player I can be.
Major League Baseball's chief baseball officer, Joe Torre, said the 12-year length of Trout's deal comes with risk should he get injured or fail to keep up his all-star performance.
There's a danger in things like that when you sign players to long-term deals.
But the former World Series champion manager thinks the Los Angeles Angels are pretty safe in this case.
Mike Trout is worth, if anybody is, let's put it that way, if anybody's worth giving a 12-year contract to, Mike Trout is that guy.
And the chief baseball officer knows how much a big star like Mike Trout means to the Angels franchise.
You're hoping somebody stays healthy. But I think what that says is what this man means to us for the Angels.
Joe Torre made his comments in Tokyo, Japan, where the Seattle Mariners and Oakland Athletics opened the 2019 Major League Baseball season. And it was where Japanese baseball star Ichiro Suzuki said goodbye to a decorated career that will almost certainly end with his enshrinement in the Hall of Fame. After my final game, after 9 years in Japan, and in my 19th year in the United States, I am putting a period on the end of my career. So I have decided to retire. I'm very happy that I am wearing this uniform on my last day. The 45-year-old Suzuki left the Tokyo Dome field in the eighth inning of the Seattle Mariners' 5-4 victory over the Oakland Athletics for the final time, waving goodbye to the packed crowd amid hugs from teammates in a three-minute walk that signaled to all his monumental run was over. He said he was happy to retire as a Mariner and admitted the emotion of his final moments on the field was overwhelming. I wanted to have one final hit to give one last something back to the fans. People think I'm not emotional, but actually I am. So I thought it would be good if I could have one last good performance to end it. But I wasn't able to do that. But despite that, all the fans stayed until the last moment. At that moment, I felt I could have died right there and been satisfied, but of course, I wasn't actually going to do that. Ichiro had 3,089 hits in 19 Major League Baseball seasons and 1,278 hits over 9 years before that in Japan, making him baseball's all-time hits leader.
Just takes a bit of luck to win. Obviously, I had a bit of luck on the playoff hole to win then. You need luck to win. If you don't have any luck, you're not going to win. And I was fortunate enough, I had the luck today.
A thunderstorm at the Maybank Championship in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, didn't keep golf fans from watching some extra play, as Australian Scott Henn topped Nacho Elvira. A loud clap of thunder startled the Spaniard as he hit his approach shot to the 18th green, leaving his ball a good 10 meters from the hole. Then Elvira and Hend had to wait an hour and 40 minutes before the Spaniard went back to roll that long putt to force a playoff.
I think the European Tour wanted to finish quick. I'm glad I make it last a little longer, but, you know, I mean, sometimes it goes one way, sometimes it goes the other.
Hend was amazed by the putt and thrilled with the competition.
If I was to go there and hit that putt, I'd probably say he'd hole it one in 10 times. It was an amazing putt, and the situation he holed it in was awesome. I mean, all credit to Nacho. It was fantastic. And the spirit we played today was great too, because he's such a nice guy. And it was like egging each other on to play well, and that's the way we like to play golf.
Hend had to come from behind to put himself in the lead heading into the final hole of regulation play.
I just had to keep my head on and be patient and just stay in there, because in the worst case scenario, you get into a playoff. If I hole some putts, I win. I had to get off to a fast start against him because I'm three shots behind. That's all it was to it. And I was fortunate enough to turn in 5 under, and then the back nine I shot even par. I can't ask for much more on myself on a Sunday where the golf course is playing quite tricky.
Although Elvira was denied his first European Tour win, he enjoyed his play.
To be honest, I think I play great all week, solid, consistent. I'm very happy with that. I'm happy my game has finally showed up a little bit of consistency. And I try to give it all on the 18th hole. Yeah, I just missed my driver a little bit and gave myself a little chance to make birdie, but I mean, I'm happy overall.
Hend, now with 3 titles, says Elvira will soon win.
His time's going to come. He's a great player. He's going to win.
Jazz Jananawatanad of Thailand finished strong, but still missed the playoffs by 2 shots.
Just struggle in the middle of the round today, but end up on a nice note, that birdie. And birdie on the last hole of the tournament is always nice. And I'm happy with the tournament overall. You know, top three is something special in the European Tour event.
Perhaps he should have eaten more?
Yeah, maybe I didn't have enough breakfast today or something.
You're never too old to compete. Just ask 84-year-old pole vaulter Florence Flo Fillion Myler of Burlington, Vermont.
It's challenging. You really have to work at that. You have to have an upper core, you have to have timing, and I just love it because it's challenging.
Myler is practicing for the World Masters Athletics Championships indoor, where she will also be competing in a range of disciplines.
Be the long jump, triple jump, the pole vault, 60-meter run, 60-meter hurdles, 800-meter run, pentathlon, which is five events in one day. That's really, really tough. And then I'm going to be in a 4x200 relay. I think I'm naming them all.
Myler set pole vaulting records at ages 70, 75, and 80 when she did a 2-meter vault at an outdoor event. Her coach, Emmeline Berg, says Myler works as hard as any top athlete a quarter of her age.
She comes in early to make sure she's warmed up enough. She goes home and stretches a lot. So she pretty much structures her entire life around being a fantastic athlete, which is remarkable at any age.
25 years ago, at age 59, Myler was playing in tennis doubles with her husband at the Vermont Senior Games when she was encouraged to try the long jump because competitors were needed. So she took up track athletics with a long background of activity as experience.
I was used to hard work. I was brought up on a dairy farm, and when I got in high school, I got very, very active in basketball and cheerleading and tap dancing and ballroom dancing, you name it, I guess I did it.
Myler turns 85 in June when she heads to the National Senior Games in New Mexico. That puts her in a new age group where she hopes to set new records.
Oh, wow! Oh, wow indeed. Thanks, Jim. That's my VOA colleague, Jim Stevenson. And good luck to 84-year-old Florence Flo Fillion Myler, never too old to compete in world athletics. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Turning to tennis, my VOA colleague Gwen Uten has an update for us on the Miami Open tournament in Florida. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Well, it took Roger Federer only 61 minutes to move one step closer to a fourth Miami Open title. Federer defeated Russia's Daniil Medvedev in straight sets and is in the final eight, where he's set to face South Africa's Kevin Anderson in Thursday night action. Federer leads Anderson with 5-1, but Anderson claimed that one victory last year in the Wimbledon quarterfinals. Federer spoke ahead of his match and said Anderson has proven to be a formidable opponent.
I mean, I think it's going to be tricky, you know. He's got a great serve, so you go back to big serve mentality to try to hold your own service games first before thinking about how to break Kevin. I had a tough one against him at Wimbledon when I lost. Was able to come back and play a good match against him in London when I really had to in that round robin match. But, you know, I think I'm feeling really good. Today's match I can be really happy with. So I hope that's going to give me some confidence for tomorrow.
The Anderson-Federer face-off is the headliner on Thursday, but we're also keeping an eye on the match that precedes it. Two of the most exciting next-generation stars will open the men's quarterfinals. American Francis Tiafoe will take on Canadian Denis Shapovalov. In the men's semifinals, American John Isner will face Canadian Felix Auger-Aliassime on Friday. In women's semifinal action Thursday's opener will see Annette Kondaveit of Estonia against Ashley Barty of Australia. And later that day, Karolina Pliskova of the Czech Republic will take on Romania's Simona Halep, who is one win away from reclaiming the world number one spot. The women's final will be played on Saturday. The men play their championship round on Sunday. Before I go, I want to make a switch to Olympic news and quickly follow up my report on the IOC's decision to sever ties with Japanese Olympic Committee Chief Tsunekazu Takeda. On Wednesday, IOC President Thomas Bach spoke at a news conference in Switzerland and said his executive board is looking to appoint a new member to fill Takeda's position as soon as possible. I also mentioned the IOC gave the all clear to include the sport of weightlifting in the Paris 2024 Olympics, pending further monitoring. Well, to add to that, Thomas Bach announced the committee is moving forward in its recommendation to include four new sports on the Paris program. Olympic host cities can propose hand-selected sporting events based on their popularity and overall appeal. And Bach says the new additions will help modernize the Olympic Games and connect with a younger generation.
These four sports include breaking or breakdance, skateboarding, sport climbing, and surfing. Three of them are already on the program for Tokyo 2020, but all four are, again, clearly in line with the Olympic agenda, because they contribute to make the program of the Games more gender balanced, more youthful, and more urban.
You'll be able to check out surfing, climbing, and skateboarding at the upcoming 2020 Tokyo Olympics, and that suggests those events have a good chance of being featured in Paris as well. And that's all from me. Back over to you, Sonny.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
They're playing back.
In National Basketball Association action Wednesday night, Paul George had a big scoring game against his former team to help lead the Oklahoma City Thunder past the Indiana Pacers. We'll hear from George in this report by the AP's Brian Henderson in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma.
The Oklahoma City Thunder beat the Indiana Pacers 107-99. A 24-0 run surged the Thunder ahead after being down by 9 at the half. Paul George topped all scorers with 31 points for OKC.
I thought we got the ball in good spots. We got it where we wanted. We set up one another. We screened for one another. And we just had a good pace. We were running it with some thrust. And, it's hard to guard us. It's just a tough matchup when we run it with some speed.
And Steven Adams had 25 points and 12 boards. Bohan Bogdanovic led Pacers scorers with 28. Domantas Sabonis had 18 points and 10 rebounds off the Indiana bench. The Thunder improved to 44-31 with the win. The Pacers fall to 45-30. Brian Henderson, Oklahoma City.
Thanks, Brian. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. And let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to Oklahoma City Thunder star Russell Westbrook, who recorded his 29th triple-double of the season Wednesday night against the Pacers. 17 points, 12 rebounds, and 11 assists. In more NBA news, the San Antonio Spurs will retire the number 20 jersey of former star guard Manu Ginobili after Thursday night's game against the Cleveland Cavaliers. The 41-year-old Ginobili is now retired from the league. He's regarded as one of the NBA's greatest international players. He won four NBA titles with the Spurs. And let's not forget, Manu also won a gold medal with Argentina's team at the 2004 Athens Olympics. The U.S. Men's College Basketball Division I Championship Tournament has reached the Sweet 16 stage. Let's take a quick look at the matchups. Five-time national champion Duke will play Virginia Tech. Louisiana State University, or LSU, will take on Michigan State. Gonzaga will go against Florida State. Texas Tech is matched against Michigan. Virginia will play Oregon. Purdue will take on Tennessee. North Carolina will meet Auburn, and Houston is matched against Kentucky. March Madness! Sweet 16! March Madness! And that wraps up the March 28th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Tien. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On April 7th, the United Nations marks the 25th anniversary of the genocide in Rwanda. More than 800,000 people, mostly Tutsi, were killed. An in-depth discussion of what Rwanda and the world has learned from this tragedy on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, this is James Butty, Managing Editor and host of VOA's Daybreak Africa show. Join us Monday through Friday at 03, 04, 05 and 0600 hours UTC as we bring you the latest African news, features and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our mail segment by sending your comments to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. Or you can call us on 001-202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. That's Daybreak Africa at 03, 04, 05 and 0600 hours UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Are you suffering from heartache? No problem. We've got the cure for you. The African beat can soothe your heartache with its awesome tunes from the African continent. So join me, David Vandy, Mondays through Fridays at 0900 and 2000 Universal Time for a healing journey. I guarantee it.
This is Science in a Minute.
Astronomers using a special instrument on the European Southern Observatory's Very Large Telescope Interferometer were able to observe the complex atmosphere of an exoplanet 129 light-years from Earth. The exoplanet, called HR 8799e, was discovered in 2010. It's considered to be a super Jupiter that's only 30 million years old and has a temperature of about 1,000 degrees Celsius. The high temperature is thought to be from leftover energy from its formation and a greenhouse effect produced by its atmosphere, which the astronomers say is filled with clouds of iron and silicates that churn in a global storm. The instrument used to make the observations is called Gravity. The device combines the signals of the four telescopes of the Very Large Telescope Array to create a super telescope. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
This is our moment. We are speaking out to end malaria.
This is DJ Drogba. Malaria is preventable and treatable.
Sleep under an insecticide-treated mosquito net every night. Go to a health center at the first sign of fever for testing and appropriate treatment.
Join me. United, we can beat malaria.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.
VOA's Learning English is available online at learningenglish.voanews.com. Check out our programs such as Let's Learn English, English in a Minute, Everyday Grammar, and many more. VOA's Learning English, your reliable source for learning English.
News happens around the clock, and VOA brings you the latest at the top of each hour. Tune in for a summary of the news at the top of each hour, around the clock on the Voice of America. Hourly newscasts on the radio and on the internet at voanews.com. VOA, a leader in news coverage for over 70 years.